You've heard in the first couple presentations some larger framing issues, and then also the work that Tammy and her colleagues have been doing about how to actually use population-based all-payer, multi-payer data. Getting to the point where you actually have the data aggregated to reflect a population is an interesting technical and social tour de force. And so the next couple presentations actually reflect a couple of examples of creating very large population databases, one at the state level in Wisconsin, which are the slides, again, from Julie Bartels that I'll walk through. I have her notes, fortunately, so I'll channel her thinking for you about that actual presentation, and then we'll talk a little bit about work on a national level to build a population database. I think that while this is about CER on one level, I think it's very relevant as we think about population and public health, because one of the challenges around thinking about the health of a population is actually having a handle on that population over time. And recognizing that almost all care delivery, and certainly communities, are multi-payer environments where people maybe have publicly funded care and privately funded care over the course of their lifetime. If we want to make sense about the longitudinal health of a population, we really have to think about how we can aggregate data from multiple sources. We're also going to talk about claims data, and we could spend weeks talking about all the pitfalls to claims data. I'd urge you, though, to think about this more as a metaphor for how we can bring together disparate sources of data and then think over time about how would we build on claims to bring in other types of data. So with that preface, why don't I spend a little bit of time here going through Julie's slides, and we can talk about the Wisconsin Health Information Organization. Disclosure-wise, again, I'm presenting this on Julie's behalf, so I don't have any direct relationship to this presentation. But the Wisconsin Health Information Organization is a voluntary multi-stakeholder nonprofit organization which was created to aggregate healthcare data for the purpose of measurement and public reporting. You can see here on the slide that there are a whole variety of different organizations that are involved. Basically their data consists of commercial payers and Medicaid. It does not include Medicare fee-for-service. It does include some Medicare Advantage members. They're working on actually acquiring Medicare in addition, and their data is updated every 6 months. The goals of this initiative are, first of all, the obvious, to aggregate healthcare data so they can examine variations in efficiency, quality, safety, and cost. But it's not just to demonstrate that they can aggregate, it's also to make it available for further analysis and action by providers, purchasers, and consumers. It's to support quality and efficiency improvement and to encourage value-based healthcare choices by consumers. And I think that she summarizes it well in the next slide, that at its roots, the Wisconsin Health Information Organization is a transparency initiative to create access and visibility for care as it's being delivered in Wisconsin. The model here on this slide describes the role of all-payer claims data in the bigger picture of healthcare reform. All-payer claims databases are, in her words, the source of truth for provider performance measures that drive payment reform that leads to improved healthcare delivery and outcomes, which equates to value in healthcare. So I think that it does begin with the data. Here's a graphic that shows you how the pieces come together for their all-payer claims database. In the upper left-hand corner, they have a variety of data contributors, which include commercial insurance plans, third-party administrators, and pharmacy benefit managers who contribute data to a third-party aggregator who then basically cleans, extracts, transforms, and loads the data. The key there is to be able to match patient and provider records across health plans, and also to build episodes of care that can be attributed to specific providers. So obviously a lot of backroom algorithm creation about both attribution and about aggregation. And that's part of the magic of making these things. The information is kept at a very high level, high restricted level, to meet HIPAA privacy and security requirements and to preserve confidentiality of the payer-provider contracts, as well as to avoid antitrust concerns. And that would be the middle layer there. There is a subset of the data set that's created which allows where patient and payer ID are blinded, and that allows And actually the claim, the cost of the claim is changed to a standardized fee. And then this data set subset is referred to as the public utility and is made available to any interested party under a paid subscription model. So that's the bottom portion right there. Again, just to summarize, they have a highly protected middle set, which is made available to a subset of users with appropriate privacy protections for provider and patient, and the bottom, a public utility that's used to support broader inquiry into variability of care and value. So in Wisconsin, the public utility data set is in broad distribution with more than 40 organizations holding subscriptions. That's to the public utility, that bottom thing we're talking about. The use of the data is guided by terms of a data use agreement, so there is consistency of measurement and reporting in the marketplace. However, the number and types of limitations on use of data in the DUA is minimal. Their belief is that innovative study and use of data to understand and solve for variation in healthcare costs and quality will only happen if there is sufficient room for users to experiment with the data within the mission and business environment of their organization. So on this slide, along with a couple of the next ones, there's some listing of a variety of the uses that the data is being put to. So you can read through this, and I'll give you a second. They are looking at geographic variation primarily, but also looking at variation both at the group level and at the physician level. You can also see applications for policy, looking at payment reform. Department of Medicaid Services uses, again, I remind you that what this doesn't include is Medicare data, so I'm also assuming it doesn't include duals. But they're also using it for further policy initiatives, such as creating baselines for local implementation of ACO models. And then finally, at the 10th one notes, they're using it to also begin to identify regional centers of excellence. And the example they cite is bariatric surgery. So a key partner for the Wisconsin Health Information Organization has been the Wisconsin Medical Society. And they've invested significant resource in thinking about how to best, prepare their membership for data being used to evaluate performance, but also to actually evaluate performance in concert with a variety of their different constituencies. So by working with its members, the Wisconsin Medical Society is seeking to understand where healthcare dollars are being spent and to recognize the very influential role of the physician, particularly the specialist, and how these dollars are used. The Wisconsin Medical Society is preparing Wisconsin physicians to, number one, anticipate and thrive in an era of complete transparency of healthcare information. I grew up in Iowa, so I always love the optimism of people from Wisconsin. But anyway, to recognize variation in practice as ways to take steps among the peers to deploy best practice. So they have focused on four specialties which are identified that are high cost, major diagnostic categories, including cardiology, orthopedics, gastroenterology, and behavioral health. And we'll show you some examples, and I'm going to have some cool uses about how they're actually putting this into practice. So using data pulled from the all-payer claims database, the four specialties listed were selected for further study based on total dollars spent in these major practice categories and the total number of episodes, particularly high-cost, high-frequency episodes. They used the process listed to explore the data, understand its implications, and build action plans to address the findings. And again, the Wisconsin Medical Society has taken a major leadership role in moving this forward. They have study groups that meet on a semi-annual basis that also think about how they can expand the implementation of the use of this data. So, to show you a few examples, this is data that they've developed looking at variability of care for knee replacement episodes. And you can, each dot represents a complete episode of care. The data has been severity adjusted so that in their mind it's an apples to apples comparison of variation. The variation shown is calculated in standardized costs, meaning that the episodes contain more or less amounts of intensity of service. And the outliers on each end were cut off of the final analysis to remove noise from the data. Still, you'll note there's an over 500% variation that was evident. They then have used this data and shared it with physicians to discuss the implications and how this might be used to improve practice. It has been decided by a collective decision between the medical society and the orthopedist that total knee replacement was a good candidate for bundled payment project, and a multi-stakeholder team has been formed. The pilot is scheduled to go live with a bundled payment model beginning in January 2012. And as you can see, they also then have a data baseline from which they can gauge the impact of that change in payment on variability of care. On this slide, it's an example of a behavioral health study where they chose to focus on standardized costs to look and see whether depression, schizophrenia, or bipolar disorder offers the greatest opportunity for review and improvement of value in healthcare. And they again looked at by ETGs, and you can see across where there were significant impacts on cost from the coincidence or the occurrence of a mental health condition. This slide we shared with the behavioral health specialists in Wisconsin. What is indicated is not surprising. The Medicaid population is the biggest user of psychiatric services. However, the physicians were able to see that depression was a significant cost component in all of the categories, commercial, Medicaid, and Medicare Advantage. And further drill down demonstrated that a significant number of scripts for this condition were being written by allied health professionals. In the opinion of the mental health group, this was considered to be an area of exposure since many patients were assumed to not have a medical home. Coordination of pharmaceuticals was relegated to the pharmacy as a result. And so they're now analyzing whether there are processes that could better manage these patients in a patient-centered medical home. This slide was used to better understand the distribution of costs of frequency of bipolar episodes by age group. The clinicians who analyzed this recognized that different age groups seek care in different ways and that solutions may not be common across segments. I think that actually gets, just as an editorial, that gets to one of the challenges of trying to make conclusions from multi-payer data and all-payer data, that you actually end up generating more hypotheses than doing truth-telling. And being able to then think about how you can do the subsequent iterations is always one of the big challenges. And it has very significant implications for how the data is organized and how the data can be accessed. I'm now going to show a couple slides about how one of the payers involved in this, ThetaCare, has actually used the data to work directly with physicians within their networks about improving care. ThetaCare is a healthcare system in Northeast Wisconsin, as you can read, with three hospitals and several hundred physicians. It's been actually an innovator in using improvements in care delivery, and it's using the data to think about how they can actually improve performance. Externally, they're using industry standard performance measures such as HEDIS to compare organizational performance, and internally, they're using this with their clinicians to think about how they can improve care going forward. So here's kind of a cool plot that they've been able to develop is they've created episodes of care for looking at diabetes. They've been able then to look at individual clinicians. Each one of these bubbles represents a clinician. The size of the bubble is reflective of the number of patients with diabetes managed in the practice. And the green, yellow, and red reflects where they come out on a relative cost spectrum. So obviously having a big green dot would be the most desirable state, where having a very large red dot would be the least desirable state. And it's allowed, but also the functionality is designed so that when they click on a dot, it allows them to drill down and understand the claims experience underneath that particular dot. So you can begin to imagine how a clinician practice could use this for understanding how their behavior works relative to others. And Julie's notes, they also are unblinding this information when they make it available to their clinicians. So for the standpoint here, it's blinded, but in their own work with their clinicians in their practice environment, they would be able to drill down on other people's dots, which, for those of you involved in physician performance improvement, is an interesting sociologic phenomenon. This is additional detail, again, de-identified for this purpose, that gives clinicians perspective on where they fall. Each one of these rows would reflect an individual clinician. The columns would reflect a different way of thinking about, or a different set of utilization metrics, and allows them to understand where they are relative to their peers in utilizing those services. And this is a similar approach looking at care for patients with diabetes. So let's see. For ease of viewing performance in a comprehensive way, they've also created a dashboard. The dashboard, I guess it would probably be a Studebaker since it's from Wisconsin. The dashboard is available and results can be made, can basically be customized and designed to meet the needs of the provider group. So a lot of flexibility both in analysis and data representation. So the Wisconsin Collaborative on Healthcare Quality also uses the WIO data mart, WCHQ, and the Medical Society are collaborating to find meaningful ways to use this type of data to improve healthcare utilization in Wisconsin. As the understanding of the data and the data matures, a more refined analysis will be possible. They state that they're committed to pairing resource use data with its own quality metrics to produce and publicly report measures of healthcare value. The work initially will be done at the level of the member organizations with plans to explore practice-level site reporting. The goal is to refine the analyses to a level that will drive practice improvements within the quality collaborative membership and throughout the states. And just to give you, these are some forms of the analysis. So this actually shows you degrees of variability. This is for asthma care resource utilization. This is for diabetes care resource use, with obviously green being lower utilization and red being higher. Geographic variation in hypertension care resource use. Pregnancy care. And just to go back through those, you'll see that there are certain areas of the state that tend to be consistent in color, and certain areas of the state tend to change in color, and I'm sure that that could precipitate some interesting discussions at the local practice level. So again, a lot of information for both supporting quality improvement and for also for hypothesis generation. So Julie's email is there at the bottom. I wouldn't pretend to be able to answer any drill-down questions, but I'd encourage you, if you have questions or want to know more, that you contact her at that address.